Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
The reading this morning has come from Luke chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment.
Brother Smith has read to us from the book of Luke, where Christ introduced a certain theme, and he said, take not thought. It's a similar idea that the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. The idea behind both of these statements, take not thought, be careful for nothing, simply means, folks, be not anxious. Do not worry. Do not be of an uneasy mind and distressed and fretful about the things of this life. Worry, of course, as we all know, is an expenditure of a lot of mental and emotional, physical and spiritual energy. And it really ought not characterize our life. I think we all know, and probably from experience, that worry does rob us of many of the joys of living. And we're wise if we would ask the question, does worry really help or does it hinder? Now, we can get the idea of worry from the etymology of the word, to strangle. It means to harass, to snap, to bite, to shake, and to mangle. Worry is a bad thing. But how many times have most of us said, but I just seem like I can't keep from it? Well, it may seem that way, but I know that we can, because God has never called upon us to do anything that we're not capable of doing with His help and if we rely upon Him. Over what is it that we worry? When we stop and analyze, we worry about what has happened, and we worry about what is happening, and we worry about what will happen. We even worry about what may happen and even could happen. And we worry about things that may never happen. I told you before the philosophy that my mother had about worry. Someone told her that we worry about so many things and they never happen. And she said, yes, that's the reason I worry, so they won't. Well, I don't think she got the right spirit from that idea behind her attitude. But someone has wisely said there are two areas in which we ought not worry. We ought not worry over things that we can help. We ought to be busy trying to help them. And there's no use worrying over things that we can't help because we can't do anything about it anyway. And that pretty well covers the whole of life, does it not? But I think the worry that we usually engage in, we worry about the outcome of the battle between right and wrong. Now, we know from Scripture that right is going to eventually prevail. We have confidence and faith in that because our Lord has assured us of that, and there's victory in Jesus. But in the meantime, before the ultimate conclusion of things, we become anxious about them. We don't see how the right side is going to prevail. And of course, as to the things that have already happened, there's nothing that we can do about those. As for what may happen, we don't know what a day will bring forth. But a lot of people worry about dying. And that's something that none of us shall avoid. A lot of people are very anxious about that. And before the lesson is over, I hope that we can touch upon the remedy for worrying about dying, that even though it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, we need not really be anxious about it. We worry as a result of certain things, and worry, of course, will produce certain results. I want to read to you, it's a rather lengthy passage, from Matthew, where Christ speaks on this subject, Matthew chapter 6, and beginning with verse 25, and I want you to notice how much this passage deals with the physical affairs of life, because that is the source and the focus of so much of man's worrying. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? In other words, why worry about that? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things are the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, when we talk about anxiety, we talk about worry, we talk about giving a distressing and fretful thought about certain situations, it is proper that we make a legitimate distinction between what is worry and what is a proper concern for certain things. When the Lord teaches us not to worry and to take no thought and to be careful for nothing, he is not encouraging us to have a frivolous and flighty attitude toward life and our responsibilities. He's not saying just it doesn't matter. He's not saying just live along, be careless, be irresponsible, uncaring, ill-planned, take no thought about anything that is before you. The Lord does not condemn folks giving proper thought and preparation for our needs and for situations that we know that we're going to encounter. Careful thought is one thing, but anxiety is something else. Now, the Apostle Paul is the one that told us not to worry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul was talking about the things that he had suffered as a Christian. And then he kept them off by saying, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul was quite concerned about the church. In his work as an apostle of Christ, he had suffered trouble from many different sources. He had been persecuted. In some of the churches that he had labored so strenuously to establish and to strengthen, the prospects for the future seemed to be rather gloomy. Paul had been beaten physically. He was in prison, but he said he was ready to die if need be. But at the same time, he was concerned about apostasy coming into the Lord's church, which indeed come. He was so concerned that brethren would remain loyal in the faith, that they would practice the things that were authorized of God. And he gave over and over again inspired instructions as to how they could be motivated to follow the lead of Jesus Christ in their life, because it mattered. And Paul knew that it mattered. And he was concerned that brethren would take these things very seriously. But he didn't worry over it as if he was frustrated and depressed and anxious. Have you ever stopped to think, what does worrying really produce? Well, we're told by those of the psychological field that worrying will impair your physical health. That good health demands a good frame of mind, and worry will certainly destroy that. If we're worried about things, why, that will steal a lot of joy from our life and put a cloud over most everything that we do. And worry, more often than not, will borrow trouble that may never come. And it will even weaken our fortifications, that when trouble comes, we're not as able to cope with it as otherwise we might. But here's the real dagger into our heart concerning why we worry. You will recall that the Lord said, O ye of little faith. Brethren, it's not a comforting thought to realize that when we worry, this is really a manifestation, it's a demonstration that our faith is not like it ought to be. Worry will cause us to neglect taking action that we ought to take. It'll put us into a frame of mind where we won't think clearly, we won't act wisely, we won't act calmly. People do irrational things when they're overburdened with worry. I've always enjoyed this little story about being anxious about things. There was a man that was running as hard as he could toward the boat dock. He just had to catch that ferry that was going to the other side. He was so worried that he was going to be late and was going to miss it. And he rounded the corner and he looked out, and sure enough, the ferry was some 6, 8, 10 feet out into the water. But he ran as hard as he could and took a mighty leap and landed on the deck of the ferry. And somebody said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I was afraid I was going to miss this ferry. The man said, we're just coming in from the other side. Well, you see, his worry didn't really solve any of his problems, did it? And actually, we usually worry over the things of this life more than any other thing. And the danger of that is found in Matthew 13. When the Lord was teaching about the parable of the sower and how that the seed fell on different qualities of ground, he talked about how that the care of this world would choke out the word. That's what we worry about. The cares of this world, we're so concerned about what we have materially, whether or not we're going to be adequately provided. Worry has caused a lot of people to get very rich. There have been millions and millions of dollars made by people who've written books on how not to worry. There are articles and interviews, some entire talk shows dealing with this matter of worry. People just spend all kind of money on pills and doctors and everything else trying to overcome those things about which they worry. I've got a whole shelf in my library on those very things. And I've read them all more than once. And in some of them, there's every kind of suggestion that you can imagine is made as to how to defeat worry, except make sure you are right with God. You listen to Dr. Phil or some of the others. Listen to the advice that you hear. How many times are people ever told, get your life in order with the teaching of God, believe in Him and trust in Him, that will dissipate your worry? You don't hear that very much. But brethren, Isn't that what our Lord teaches us? How do we overcome this spiritual problem? Well, we worry about the things past, present, and future. We need to give heed to the words of the Apostle Paul concerning the things that are past. He said, forgetting the things that are past. The past is past. And sometimes we have a difficult problem in our own mind of letting it be past. It's gone. There's some things about which we can do nothing, and we can't improve them. We can learn from it, but we can't change it because it's already done. And we need to do like Paul. Just forget that. Put that behind you. As for the present, why, we need to realize that a man's life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We need to not burden our present with things of the past or the future. That's what the Lord is saying when he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The burdens of today, they're heavy enough. If we can learn to just carry the things of today, each day, and to realize that we should trust in God's providence to provide for us. Did he not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? All these things shall be added unto you. David said, I have been young, and now I am old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You see, what this boils down to, and believe me, it's a whole lot easier to say than it is to live, because I've been saying it and trying hard to live it, but it's easier to say than it is to live. A stronger faith in God will drive worry from our lives. If we can only understand the cause of it, maybe we will be able to defeat it. But we have to put the emphasis where the Lord places the emphasis, and that's on the spiritual rather than material. The Lord raised the question, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The emphasis, you see, is on the spiritual. That will dispel worry. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We may just have all kinds of things materially. That won't remove worry, because worry is a spiritual problem, not a material problem. And this is a recurring theme. We must simply, brethren, learn to trust God more. I'm sure that everyone in here would agree. The more we trusted God, the less we would worry about life. The Lord has promised, I will never leave you. Peter admonished, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dependence on God will drive worry out of our heart. The Hebrew writer said, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brethren, we are so privileged to be in the kingdom of the Lord. There are so many things that are shaking and quivering and are not stable in this life. There are so many things that can just be removed in just a moment. But we are a part of that which cannot be shaken. And men cannot remove it. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's such a blessing to be a Christian. The kingdom of God will endure. The kingdom of God will be victorious and ushered ultimately into heaven. In the meantime, those of us who are citizens in that kingdom, there will be battles to be fought. There will be struggles. There will be hardships. There will be trying times. But dear friend, if we will put our faith and trust in the Almighty, we need not worry what will befall us in this life. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 is a passage which I paraphrase as simply this. There is nothing that shall happen this day that God and I together cannot handle. If we have a deep, genuine faith in that concept, why should we worry? Everything will ultimately turn out the way God would have it to be. You know, one of the greatest promises and assurances that we have is this law of sowing and reaping. And the Apostle Paul said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There are things about which we are provoked and tempted to worry. I am, you are. But you know, those things can be of some benefit to us. It can keep us humble. It can help us realize how dependent we are on the providence of Almighty God. It can be a chastisement that will make us more fit for the Lord's service. It can even be the provision of an opportunity for us to grow and to develop and be stronger than we have before. I'm sure you would agree with me that it's so much better to count our blessings than to be counting our problems. This little verse, I think, is appropriate. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these restless human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I know not, unless it be that they know not the Heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me." The whole idea about overcoming worry, overcoming anxiety, facing the problems of life, trust in the God who is your Heavenly Father. That's the admonition of a lesson like this. And when we take God at His word, this faith will put worry to flight. I think we'd probably have less doctors and less pills and less frowns and less fears and less disturbance and less grief. Life would be more joyful and more peaceful. We would be better examples. We'd be more Christ-like. Now there are those, as I mentioned earlier, who worry about death. Because they worry about eternity. And I want us to face it. Some have reason to be worried about death. You have good reason to be concerned about eternity. Because you're not right with God and you know it. You're not an unintelligent person. You can comprehend the Scriptures, and if you believe the Scriptures, and if you believe in God, who is the author of those Scriptures, you've got a real reason to be very, very concerned. Because should death overtake you in the spiritual state in which you presently are, God's Word does not offer you any hope at all but a warning of an eternal punishment in hell. That should concern anybody of a rational mind and a faith whatever in what the Bible has to say. You need to be worried. You need to be anxious. You need to be disturbed. You've got good reason to be. But you need not be. There's no reason for anybody to be anxious on their deathbed. There's no reason to be concerned about our loved ones when they die. If we live and die faithful in Christ, that's the very mission of Christ. That's the very promise of Christ. That's the very hope of Christianity. Worry reflects a lack of confidence in what God has done and what God says. If we really believe, we'll come to the Savior. We won't have to be begged. We'll know what a privilege it is to be in Christ. And we'll know what it is to have a good, productive, joyful, faithful, obedient life. And then time comes, as it will, that we're to leave it. No worry. Not any at all. Isn't that what we all want? Truly it must be. If one would hear the gospel, believe it with all of his heart, believe in Christ as the Son of God and obey Him in repentance, confession, and baptism, He doesn't have to worry about the past. It's done. He's in Christ. He's a new creature. He's on his way to heaven with all of God's people. And if he'll just keep pace with the teaching of the Lord, there's nothing to worry about. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually. Be not anxious. Take no thought. Do not worry.